of myself. Now just one verse in the next chapter. Chapter 15 and verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be involved. What a contrast between a feast and a famine. And in the feast there was absolute satisfaction, but in the famine there was absolute want. And it's wonderful to know that we are invited to a feast. And a feast where every delicacy of grace is spread, for famished souls to feed upon. And we are told here that blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. That's true happiness. That's what the word blessed means. It means happy. Happy is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And what is that bread but the bread of life? Even Christ himself. And when we appropriate to our own soul all that our Savior is and all that he has accomplished upon the cross, this, dear friend, and this alone will meet the need of hungry souls of Adam's race. And I just want to point out, to emphasize three statements in this lovely story. The first is, come, for all things are now ready. The second is, yes, there is room. And the third is, compel them to come in. Come, for all things are now ready. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to pay. There's no distance to go. But as my brother has said, there is no time to lose. And first of all, dear friend, there is room in the atonement of Christ for every poor sinner. Who did Christ die for? He died for you and he died for me. He tasted death for every man, so that none may perish, all may live, for Christ has died. That means, dear friend, there is no need for any soul to be lost. No need to bear that load of sin alone, for there is room in the atonement of Christ, in the blood of atonement, for every poor sinner that will only come. This is what our Savior has said, come, for all things are now ready. Let me say too, dear friend, that not only is there a feast that is absolutely ready, that feast that was purchased by the blood of the Lamb, that feast, dear friend, is all ready and ready for you. Let me say that God is ready. We are told of God that he is a God that is ready to pardon. But there was a soul that once said, I'm a Syrian that's ready to perish. Let us put those two together. A sinner that's ready to perish and a God that is ready to pardon. Our Savior is ready. Ready to receive those that will come unto him. He has promised the bread of life. He has promised the light of life. He has promised, dear friend, the forgiveness of sin, the joy of eternal life, and he himself has said, come, for all things are now ready. The Spirit of God is ready to seal the covenant of grace with everyone that comes to our Savior, and the Spirit of God that strives with sinners, that draws near and comes to grips with sinners, it's the one that's ready to seal that covenant of grace with the very one that will only trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, God is ready to pardon. receive. The Spirit of God is ready to see that soul for time and for eternity. All things are ready. Nothing to do. Nothing to pay. But simply come. And here is what our Savior says. Come. For all things are now ready. Let me ask you, friend, are you ready? This is the important thing. Are you ready? I know and you know that you are a sinner ready to perish. But let me ask you, are you ready to repent? Are you ready to trust Christ? And if you are ready, there is a God that is ready to pardon this very moment. And soon as you're all ye venture on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters, and you are born of God. Are you ready? God is ready. Christ is ready. The Spirit of God is ready. Let me say the church is ready to receive into its bosom everyone that trusts our Savior. But they all with one consent began to make excuses. Doesn't history repeat itself in every generation? The first says, I have something to see. The other said, I have something to do. And another said, I have something to enjoy. And they all turned away. And the master of the feast was angry. His grace was spurned. His invitation was rejected. And he said, none of those shall eat of my supper. God only rejects those that reject him. But let's think of our second statement. Yet there is room. Yet there is room. God's house is filling fast. Yet there is room. Some soul will be the last. Yet there is room. Yet though salvation stay, from you will pass away. Then grace no more will say, yet there is room. There is room, dear friend, in the heart of God. What a large heart God has. For God so loved the world. Who then is left out? Who then is rejected? Who then has ever been forgotten? There is room in the very heart of God for every soul that has room in his heart for Christ. There's room in the arms of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's room, dear friend, in the rank of the redeemed of the Lord. There is room in heaven above for everyone that has room in his heart for Christ. There's room for pleasure and room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Oh, dear friend, there's room tonight. There's room for you. If you just in your seat, feeling your need of a Savior, feeling the burden of your sin, feeling the need of that peace that passeth all understanding, if you will trust our Savior, there is room for you. Room for you, dear friend. And there's room in this banqueting house where there is a table spread. Do you want forgiveness? Here is a delicacy upon this table. Do you long for life eternal? yea, on peace with God, on hope for heaven. Well, here is a tape, and you may see your soul upon that which was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and peace, and joy, and hope, and heaven forevermore. Yes, dear friend, there's room at this table for you. There is enough on despair on this table of grace. You'll only trust the Savior, that soul of yours will no longer be famished. Here was a prodigal that went into the far country, and there arose a mighty famine in the land. He had nothing to feast on. He was starving to death. And that's, dear friend, our verse. There's nothing in it for the famished souls of men and women, our boys and girls. But there is room. And the door is open. And it's not open ajar. It is open wide tonight. And you're invited, no matter who you are. And the urgency of this call is simply this. Compel them to come in. Oh, the urgency of the message of the gospel. Compel them to come in. Why, dear friend? Because of your need. What a need it is. A soul that has been born in sin. A soul with no hope for heaven. A soul with no joy in life itself. There is a need. And that is why, dear friend, because of your need, God says, compel them to come in. Because of your danger, God says, compel them to come in. What danger? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The coming of the Lord is right at the door. God says, compel them to come in. Dear friends, the house is filling fast. Souls are trusting Christ every day. Souls are being born of God every day. And if our Lord should come tonight, they would thank Him for all eternity that they got in on time. God says, compel them to come. That my house may be filled. And God compels because of your danger, because of the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mr. Reeder and I were preaching in Bermuda. And that evening it was said that perhaps the Lord will come before 9 o'clock strikes. Just as the meeting was ended, a young man, very well educated young man, got up from the seat and he came right up to the front and stood there. Said he wanted to be saved. He told just to sit for a moment until the meeting finished. But he told us afterward, he says, when you say that the Lord may come before 9 o'clock, he says, I wanted to get it. And he did go in, dear friend. A young man that's going on for God today. Should our Lord come tonight? I wonder who in our audience tonight would be left behind. No wonder there is an urgent. Compel them to come in. Yea, by the cord of His loving kindness, sinners are drawn to the feet. By the tug of the Spirit, by the pleadings of God's people, souls are being drawn in. How will it be with you tonight? Will you come? He says, come, for all things are now ready. Oh, there is a feast. There is also a famine. And we are told, that in that far country he began to be involved. But when he came in, dear friend, they began to be merry. All things are ready. A God that's ready to pardon, sinners that are ready to perish. And there is room. The door is open wide. And our Savior says, come. And it's so urgent that the servant was sent out, the Spirit of God, right into the hedges and through the byways to compel sinners to come in. That means, dear friend, that when sinners stand before His judgment, the very urgency of God that compels sinners to come in will be a witness against those that didn't go in. And there will be no excuse at the judgment bar of God. Will you come to me just as you are? Not waiting to become any better. You cannot become better. Not waiting until you dream something. Not even waiting until you're feeling something. Seek the fitness to be thinking. Do not longer try to be. It is trusting and not faith that will give the Spirit seat. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Will you come? God says, compel them to come in. And by the cords of His loving kindness, by the convicting power of the Spirit of God, you are being drawn through this feet, through the door of His salvation. And so that you may come tonight, accept His invitation. Come just as you are. And if you trust our Savior, God's word for us, thou shalt never perish, but thou everlasting life shall be fed. O God our Father, wilt thou let thy word be met. It may be that there are souls right on the very verge of trusting Christ. How we long to see them commit. We pray that there may be nothing that will keep us so affectionate. Oh, that the Spirit of God may raise a standard against the enemy and let souls come in. So we just commit.